Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's All You Can Geek Gamescast, episode 318. I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gass, joined by Corey Feinstein.
Yo, yo.
Mike Sneedy.
What's up?
And Tony Korkanakis.
Word.
What's up, guys? Welcome, listeners, to 318. We've got a plethora. I love the word plethora.
Cornucopia.
Cornucopia. No, I like plethora. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, The Three Amigos, but it always reminds me of El Guapo. So,
cornucopia just reminds me of fruit. So,
all right, let's jump into Watch Dogs 2. Jumps into some vagina.
Vagina.
Like
vagina.
Why?
Right. That's what everybody is asking right now. Why?
Who wrote this news on here?
I did.
Okay, tell me, what is this news?
So, I only noticed this because it was a thread on Gap, but some guy goes, "I just got temporarily suspended from PlayStation Network because I found and uploaded a picture of bare vagina in Watch Dogs 2. And there's a link, and maybe we could tweet it out or retweet it. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Of this woman with crotchless panties and explicit, high-definition, detailed graphics of bare, hairy vagina. Now, why this is in the game? I don't know. I don't
Watch
know.
Dogs
I literally don't know.
Bringing that 4K pro realism.
Authenticity.
Is it more watch pussy too now? I don't know. Like
I don't know. But it's funny because it's much more detailed than her face.
Yeah. It's like that animator really liked his job. I'll just say that.
Well, you got to do a lot of research to get those things right because, he needs some references yeah. and material to
yep.
whatever.
And this isn't like a PC mod or anything like that. This is literally PlayStation 4 from the retail copy. So, I mean, if you're into that stuff, hey, man, go for it. That's cool. Whatever. I think
realism.
Maybe the game.
Realism.
So
get your coffee here. Get your coffee.
Hot coffee.
Yeah, so
can I interest you some coffee?
I don't really know if they should too much. It is sort of weird, but it's an M-rated game, but still, I think they're going to get in trouble for this.
Oh, yeah.
There'll probably be some definite backlash. It's kind of weird. It's like, why, I guess, why?
But is it bad publicity? Is good publicity? Like, where's the line here?
I think Watch Dogs can use any publicity because, honestly, like, I haven't heard anybody really talking about this game. Like, we haven't even talked about this fucking game,
yeah,
right?
No.
I think this might be the first time we've talked about this game on the
probably.
Podcast.
I think Mike mentioned he was interested in it.
Yeah, I'm less interested in it than I was before.
I mean,
yeah.
Dishonored 2
is
so much more interesting than
Dishonored 2. Yeah, I know I'm going to get that.
By the way, listeners and viewers, we will be doing some Black Friday sales stuff next week. So look for that episode. We'll probably try to post it that night.
For our North American friends. Sorry, Canadians and the Europeans. You're on your own there.
We don't have the resources to help you with that, but we can help our own here.
You have the internet. You can help yourself.
Plus, we're building a wall, so, I mean...
Yeah, we're not going to trade with you guys anymore anyway.
Yep.
So over.
Man. Anyways, we'll get to that next week. But let's get into the Nintendo corner for right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's go, Jim.
Let's hear about it, Jim.
Why don't
so
you
the
talk?
NES Classic, the NES Classic is out, or is it?
Really? Is it?
Has anybody seen one in the wild?
Not.
Nope. I even went to Target tonight, and I was like looking around, and it's like.
I didn't find one. So, yep. They're not here.
I'm so mad at myself, too, because, it released on Friday, and I was on my way to work, and I live literally right down the street from a Target. So I passed by there just to see if there was a line. There's like five or six people. So I'm like, interesting. I was like, you know what? There's one closer to work. That way I can – not that it really made much of a difference. I'll just go by the one at near my work because historically when the Amiibo craze was happening, that's where I had all my success because, it's, I guess, an older demographic because it's right near a corporate park and stuff like that. I get there. There's a line. I was like, oh, shit. And they got 10 in, and I was 12th in the line.
Hmm.
So I was like, well.
That sucks.
Fuck
so what?
My...
I mean, listen. FML. Nintendo has a long, long history of doing this with their products. Why right now? Like, the only thing I can see that happened from this, the only thing, and this is very positive for them at least a little bit because my brother and his friends know about this. Like, my older brother and his friend Ben, who owns a farm and lives in the middle of nowhere, knows about the NES Classic system now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, This part, I definitely think it's a slightly intentional.
Oh, definitely slow. No, release. Not slightly. This is intentional. You don't send. Yeah. You don't announce this. Mm. Don't take pre-orders on it, and then give everybody like two.
Yeah. But you know, just like your experience, like everybody at my work was like talking about it, and
yeah, it made the news from it. So now they might try to release them everywhere, and we'll see how actually it does.
Right, but because right now it's definitely the hot item right now, because people are like, oh, like it's sold out everywhere, like this, and like literally my the guy who sits across from me, who's a father of two and stuff like that, and he has like almost zero interest in video games. He was talking to me about it, and he's like, oh, if I find one, I'll definitely pick one up for you. I was like, if you see any, you pick them all up, and I will gladly pay you for each and every one of those things right now.
What's the black market going for these now?
I saw one sold for $500.
Yeah.
Sold. Not listed. Sold.
So I'm going shopping tomorrow.
What's funny about this is anyone can play all these games pretty much for like super cheap.
Yeah, that's the funny part, and probably with a longer controller cord. Yeah.
No, absolutely. But you know, the thing is, this is definitely selling on like a combination of nostalgia and novelty. Like,
and the fact that everybody wants it, like that, like you were saying before, like when something becomes sold out or hard to find, the rarity of it, everybody starts to get interested in it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh wait, maybe I should look into what this thing is that everybody's interested in, and then you find out that it's selling on eBay for like 5 times the amount or 10 times the amount that's for in stores. It's like,
it does have the console convenience though factor.
Yeah,
it sort of proves that there's still a market for the console convenience factor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a freaking OUYU that does this. Whatever.
A what?
What is this? OUYU. OUYU. You got an freaking IOU from a company.
You have a Ouija board?
Yes, and I've. Fuck that, I'm not using that to play these games. I'd rather buy one of these classics to play the games.
What's funny about it is I saw someone on YouTube that got one, and they had a local game store who they apparently ordered 200 and got two. Mm-hmm. But they got one because they're, you know, big YouTubers.
Oh,
cool.
Connected. Connected with those internet dollars.
Mm-hmm. And but they said that they heard someone opened it up, and it's actually... The processing in it is more powerful than the original Wii, which seems unnecessary.
I did hear that, yeah.
So that's interesting. I don't know what they plan on doing with that.
Well, I mean, it sounds strange, but here's the thing about technology is that as time goes on, like those components aren't produced anymore because they're not making Wiis anymore. So like, it would be more expensive for them to actually make something that's like that Wii. Like there's – I want to say like there's – a minimum baseline that's higher than the Wii, in 3DS. Because, like, I mean, who's even making things that are going to be that poor tech-wise anymore? Nobody. Like, you literally have to make your own, like, factory and stuff like that. It's not worth it. But, yeah, I think it's humorous, too. It's kind of funny. It's like, this is more powerful than the Wii. And it's, like, a quarter of the size, you know?
And here's, like, how many NES games are on there?
30.
30.
Not expandable.
Now, it's kind
of... Big shock to people, though.
Right. But the interesting part, and we'll never know if it comes to fruition, and maybe it won't, because a lot of these Nintendo secrets never do. But people who got the unit and more tech-savvy than us even found out that through like the coding of the system and everything like that, the USB, which is supposed to power the device, actually can read input from the USB. It's not just for power. It's also for data. Why? Who knows? I mean, it has no option to connect to the internet or anything like that. So if it is expandable via some way, it had to be like USB direct drive or I don't know, whatever. But
you probably won't buy another one for like it's just $65.
Yeah.
Whatever. Are they going to make a SNES Mini now?
I think they definitely will after the craze of this one. Not to mention in like another year or two, like,
NES Mini 2.
And with new games. Mini.
I like as much as I love the NES, the SNES is probably my favorite Nintendo
system. I agree. I think I've said that too. The Nintendo 64 would be great for them to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still have mine and it functions perfectly fine though for that.
Yeah. I was going to say that thing was built like a brick and I have it too. So it's like sitting here. But but it is nice to have the collection of games. Like we've talked about going digital for so many things and there is that ease of Switch, which is just awesome. The only problem for me when I go digital on these kind of things, seeing 30 games, I get like overwhelmed with which one to play first. You know what I mean? Like you're just like, I'm gonna play a little of this, then a little of this, then you end up not playing any of them.
Yeah, it's like a buffet,
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like my only issue with this. I'm going to get one of these. I'm going to slam the fact that the controller length is stupidly short.
No, I can't even defend that. Like, I'm like, it's 2.5 feet long or something like that. Which
a little bit of that Apple philosophy that bled into them.
Yeah.
Well, it's really dumb. And some people are like, oh, well, that's matching the cord length of what a classic controller was from the Wii.
Wii.
Right. Okay. So like you know, the plugs into the bottom.
Yes. Release, yeah. Okay. That's right. I thought you meant the original on this. I'm like, I have the original.
No. And I mean, I could kind of see that because like, apparently you can use this as a classic controller for Wii and Wii U stuff. But like, that's no excuse to make it that fucking short. Like, it's so dumb. Like,
TVs are way too big to stand to sit 2.5 feet away from them.
And they sell the extensions for like $10 right now for another 6 feet.
Yeah, I mean, you can get third-party ones for way cheaper, which is what I would recommend. Or just get a longer eight. Honestly, I think you'd just be better off getting a longer HDMI cable, because if you want to reset the system, you actually have to hit the reset button. Or if you use a Wii Classic controller that has the home button on it, you can hit that, which was
back in my day. Back in my day, we'd get up and push reset anyways.
Yep. But yeah, I suspect that by Black Friday, all these stores are going to have like a bunch. It's like, oh, look, we just found all these NES classics.
Nintendo has always been well known, and this goes back to me selling their GameCube unit, of finding on Christmas Eve like a stash. Like, we got them in on December. We got in. Now, GameCube was ridiculous because I had a call and cancel pre-orders on customers because they just weren't going to give us enough. That was the worst phone calls I've ever had to make. And I like threatened to be sued. Somebody's going to come in and beat me up. It was ridiculous. Like, we had a number we had to direct them to if they said they were going to sue us, to talk to lawyers. Like, immediately. That's how serious that got.
Wow.
But so then miraculously, December 23rd, we got a cache of like 60 of them. Out of nowhere, GameCubes. Shortages like crazy in November. But December 23rd, there were 60 in our store waiting for them people to come in and buy them.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. They are well known for this, and it's frustrating. I'm glad I'm not in that business, so I'm sorry for all those retail associates right now out there that have to deal with upset people that can't find this, because I've dealt with it. But it's interesting. It works for them. If this, like, it clearly has spread word because of this, and now all of a sudden if they flood the stores, let's see how it sells.
Yeah, talking about it for 10 minutes.
Yep. And there it is.
Moving on.
Anyways, you're right. Thank you for calling that out, Corey. You could have called that out a while ago. We would have moved on a while back.
Yeah, guys got excited.
Zelda is not a title on the Switch.
Zelda is vaporware.
What's going on with Zelda here? I heard a rumor that it's being delayed. Not delayed. Right.
So,
if you can't delay something, it's not confirmed. It's getting released in the summer.
Right.
But it's been confirmed for the Wii U.
Right.
Yeah. No. Confirmed.
Nothing has been confirmed. There's never been a release date other than 2017 as of late. Like, they've never said a time frame. Now, this is coming from Emily Rogers, who pretty much gave all the accurate information that came to light for the Switch reveal trailer. So at this point, it's not guaranteed, but
it's pretty,
from her vetting sources, it seems to be pretty reliable that apparently, because this game is so massive and everything, and it literally is their biggest game in terms of, you know, like, how many people are on it, you know, what's going on, you know, text, et cetera, et cetera, that their localization team hasn't been able to get it done in the timeliest of fashions, and will probably be done by the end of the year. But the thing is, because of that, the QA and testing portion of that takes an additional like 3 to 4 months at minimum. You know, it could be more if they find bugs and stuff like that. So it's probably not hitting the launch release date of March for the Switch, which would be unfortunate. And she goes on to say that her sources indicate like a summer launch for Zelda. And yeah, I mean, definitely, like,
if that misses launch,
it doesn't matter. You won't be able to get a Switch until December anyway.
The way they do their stuff. Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
So talk to us, tie this in. You guys can talk about this rumor from the Switch, because I abstain, but go ahead. Talk about this rumor that tie it in here.
I mean, it's totally disappointing if true.
The same woman, right?
Yeah. So the same woman has released pricing possibly, right?
Right. So let me just touch on this real quick. Because I think I'm the biggest Zelda fan on the podcast, obviously. Not that it's a hard bar to meet there.
I bought a Wii and sold it the second after I beat Zelda.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't make you a bigger fan.
Yeah, it doesn't make you a big fan at all.
I'm just saying.
You go to the Zelda Symphony? Motherfucker?
I know, I was busy.
You have
but
a
I
Zelda jacket that you wear every yeah. time I see this guy?
No, yeah. no, I don't. No, I don't. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
I don't have any Zelda shirts, actually. Oh, I do have one.
You
could
be a fan.
Awesome
I mean,
Zelda
I'm a fan of Zelda, too. I'm just, I know Tony's way bigger fan than I am.
pretty big fan.
But. I don't know if you see this blanket, but it's okay, a Triforce. Yeah,
yeah so. You definitely have more. You're right.
That was a gift, too. It wasn't even something I made. But anyway, definitely disappointing because that was, like, pretty much the number one, like, hey, this is probably going to be the first, when it was known as the NX, like, this is probably going to be the first NX game, a la Twilight Princess was on the GameCube and Wii. And definitely, this is probably the strongest title they could ever launch with a system to sell it to the masses because it's a big deal. So it's still a big deal to a lot of people. It has a lot of brand and staying power and all that stuff. So it's definitely disappointing, but at the same time, totally understandable. And let's be honest, I think it's one of those games that it could release any time of the year and still sell millions of units. So
the game's going to sell like crazy, but I will tell you that there's one person on this podcast now who was going to buy it at launch that's going to wait until the game comes out. This is the system itself. I'm not buying it at launch if Zelda's not a launch title.
Mm. Okay.
If you totally saw it on the shelf, it was the last one, you are buying it, Jim.
Come on, Jim. You bought PlayStation VR. Let's be honest.
I also bought a PS Pro.
Yeah,
but
let's be honest. So you bought those things. You haven't even played them. So, I mean, you're not really making a case.
I've been away this week, okay? This is not my fault I didn't play the PS Pro.
All right, mark the date and time, guys. Jim's not buying a Switch.
All right.
Not buying a Switch if there's no Zelda at launch. Until the Zelda game comes out, I'm not buying a Switch.
Yeah.
I'll make a statement right now.
The other, I guess, better Switch news this week was that I don't think this is the same one, but this is another female Twitter user that vetted her own sources against Emily with Emily Rogers to confirm, like, basically said, yeah, Emily's sources are saying the same thing that my sources are, so I have no reason to believe that they're not true. And lo and behold, they became true. She's saying now that it's going to retail for, what, €329 or something like that, which is the equivalent of $250 US. And that there's going to be two SKUs at launch, or SKUs, whatever you want to say it. There's going to be a base model, which is just, you know, the Switch, the dock, and the Joy-Cons. And there's going to be one that will be more expensive, obviously, and increase the internal memory size from 32 gigabytes to some other thing, and probably come with a prepackaged game that she is not going to reveal just yet. But there you go. I mean, that's a pretty good price, I think. And they really need to get underneath the $300 price point by a large margin because PS4 Slim and Xbox One S are just selling
games.
They're going to be
$250 easily by the time that system launches.
Right, so. Exactly. And you know, this is what I was saying, I think, a couple podcasts ago, where I think it's kind of all right that they missed the holiday window this year. I mean, obviously, it's less than ideal, but at the same time, you kind of got into that Wii U scenario where it's like, you can buy the Wii U for $350, or you could buy, like, a 360 or PlayStation 3 for, like, $100 less, and it has a huge-ass library to be compared to. Mm. Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see. Again, all rumors.
Anybody else want to add to this or what? Anybody like this?
I mean, if you're going to get it, if it's $250, I think I've said if it's $250, I was going to buy it. So
instant buy?
$250 sounds about right, but I have no interest in this system.
Really? So the other thing is that she hasn't said it yet, but she did want to talk about the Mario title, I think, later on in this week. But what she has stated in the past that it's going to be more tradition, I'm sorry, 3D traditional in terms of like Mario 64, Mario Sunshine. So I thought that appealed most to you, Mike. So
yeah, in comparison to the other games, but it's not going to sell me a system.
All right. All right. Let's move on then. Where are we at? Telltale. Telltale Games. Okay, guys. Telltale has a Marvel game in production called, and we found out that it's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Okay. Now, right. First of all, there's two parts of this conversation to have. First part is it me or is Telltale just fading?
Yeah, I think they're fading.
They've oversaturated themselves.
Yeah, they're a little too much.
Yeah. So like second, like, how do you, can anybody see a Guardians of the Galaxy game like this? Like, I don't know.
Well, I can see it. It sounds like a fine idea. It's just fine, though. It's like, yeah, they've done a fine job on all their games.
I'll go a little into what I've been up to, because I played the third episode of the Batman Telltale game this week. And, I mean, it's pretty good, but what I've noticed comparing this to the other Telltale games I played, which were The Walking Dead, and I've watched playthroughs of The Wolf Among Us. I didn't play it, but those are the two good ones, pretty much.
Tales
of the Borderlands is fantastic.
Well, I didn't.
The Wolf Among Us is my favorite from them, but Tales of the Borderlands is fantastic.
But
like, splitting hairs about how good those two are.
My point is though that like, I really feel like the Telltale games are better when you're not really that familiar with the characters and story. That's part of the problem I have with this Batman game. It's just like, oh yeah, of course that person is going to be like that or whatever. Although this third episode did surprise me in a few ways because there's a different take on a few characters I see here. So I think Guardians is a good one. That's my point, because it's a universe that I don't know all that much about. There's lots of characters they can pull from. The problem is everyone's going to identify them with the movie versions a lot now, because that's all really anyone knows of these characters, and they're going to be different, more based on the comic book. So it's going to be interesting, I think. It could be good, though.
So the comic book hasn't merged with what they've done in the movies, because they did that with Iron Man, essentially.
I don't know. Who reads Guardians comic books? Does anyone?
No,
But
they basically changed Iron Man's personality to match more of what they've done in the movies. Not 100%, but he is a lot more like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the majority of people that know who Iron Man is probably don't read his comic.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So
I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. But I think it is my point is it's a different enough universe where it can like introduce things in a new way that it would still kind of be interesting.
Yeah, it's a well-known property now because of the movie, and so people have that name recognition. But at the same time, yeah, like you said, nobody knows anything about who the Guardians really are. So that's fine. But as far as Telltale goes, like, I am disappointed that they haven't done a sequel to The Wolf Among Us. And
they have too many properties.
I would like to see another Tales from the Borderlands. Yeah. I just think that they've oversaturated, and their games are all very similar. So now it's not so much about the games, more about the property. And so we'll see.
Yeah, no, and I definitely agree with you there. It's kind of like almost like I want to say like the Lego formula, where it's like Lego fill in the blank, and it's cool because I mean it's cool for people of those fan, like if you're a fan of Batman or if you're a fan of Harry Potter or Star Wars or stuff like that.
Lord of the Rings.
Like for the most part, you get the same experience. Yeah. I mean, at least to my knowledge, I've only played a couple of them, but like it just seems very like same. Like you played them one, you kind of played them all. Obviously, it's not so much with like a storytelling game, but like I don't know. I like the first season of Walking Dead because it's like the first Telltale thing I ever played. And then I loved
Wolf
Among Us. And I'm still waiting for a season two of that. I would definitely play that.
We need stuff like this. And
we didn't know anything about Fables, really. Like, not that many people knew Fables. Mm-hmm. And that brought that like that universe to life. And it was a great universe to play in. It was really cool to be a part of. And I'd like to see that.
So, and I still have Tales of Borderlands. I haven't played it, Jesus Christ. I owned it for like a year, I think, now.
I never finished Game of Thrones, and I owned that one.
I totally forgot they even did that.
That one looked really boring to me. I saw someone playing it.
The first episode was boring, and I just, that was it. I didn't come back to it.
Didn't you buy a season pass for that?
Yep, I own it. What?
I really think
I buy and I don't care about? Come on.
I really think Telltale games should have more of like a traditional, at least part of it, have more of a traditional adventure game thing where you actually do have to, like, I don't know, like have an inventory or something or point and click a little more.
I like the style that these games are built in with like
the QuickTime events.
Yeah, the QuickTime events. I like it's a different kind of game. Like it's not. It's a break. It's like a break game. Like it's like you don't have to do too much, but you can sit there and you can enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like
it's like an interactive book, I think.
Yes, and
it's
a visual novel. Like that.
It really is.
It just gets. Listen, you can't oversaturate the market. Like that's really what it is. They've oversaturated themselves. Like I like the style that they've done. I do like them as a break of a game, a change of pace. They just have too many franchises now for me to care about them. next one.
Yeah.
But I think they should add a little more to their gameplay at this
point. God, I own Walking Dead Season 2, too, and I haven't even played that. Fuck.
Yeah, throw in some puzzles or something. I don't know. I think they do have some very light puzzles in this Batman game. I've had, like, one or two. But they could do a little more with that. I think it would be good for them to sort of flesh out what they have in their repertoire.
No, I definitely agree with you, Mike, on that one. Because, like, you know, Jim, like, I'd love, you know, like, 999. To a lesser extent, VLR, and to no and extent, Zero Time Dilemma.
To zero extent.
Yeah, exactly.
Zero extent.
so many puns. But the part of that is, like you said, like it's very, it can be very relaxed. You're just like, okay, story bit, story bit, story bit. And then you get like a puzzle to like break it up and be like, really like scratch your head or your chin or whatever like that. And for something like Batman, that totally, if it were, I haven't played it, so I'm just assuming, if that were a stronger aspect of the game, you know, it'd probably be more appealing to me. I haven't heard really positive things about Batman, so I'm just like, maybe in a few years when it's like $2 on a Steam sale, I'll pick it up. But like, I have zero interest in it.
Yeah, right, it's now. It's one of those. I'll say this: it would be better on PC.
Ooh.
Well, it's designed for it. You can tell. Aside from the fact that things skip still, even in this new engine. There's an occasional hiccup of the animations. There's these points where you have to guide a cursor to a circle in time, and it's really hard to do on a controller. It is so slow. It's like, I'm like, why? Why do I have to do this?
And, you know, that's the other thing is, I forget if I experienced this or somebody experienced this. Maybe it was somebody else on the podcast. But, like, there's so many, like, glitches or, like, fuck-ups in the game. It's like, what is so demanding of this game that it's hard to fucking...
I never understood that.
It's because they're just churning this shit out.
I know.
Dude, and I first played The Walking Dead, I played on Vita, and I thought it was because of the Vita. And then I played everything else on the console, and it's like, well, nope. It's not the Vita.
By the way, the game launches on Xbox One and PS4, and they play the fucking same. They still can't load properly.
Oh, actually, in the previous episode, not this new one, I had a glitch happen in this Batman game where, like, there was some effects from, like, some strobe thing went off, but the strobe became permanent. Everything was colored, like, black and green for a while. I'm like, wait, is this supposed? No, this is not supposed to be happening. Because I had to see what was going on. I was just screwing everything up. I'm like, well, I'm gonna quit.
I mean, these are not like Assassin's Creed games where, okay, something's glitching. Makes sense. They missed this because this is a huge open world.
Mm-hmm.
But what else we got, Jim? That it?
We've got. What else do we have? That's it. Oh, the Xbox console is the number one selling console for October, so it'll be interesting to see how it works in
November
with PS Pro out. I'm interested to see this.
It depends. Like, so here's the thing I'll say to that. I definitely think Xbox One will still top November just because the deals for that, and to a lesser extent, the PS4 Slim are like fire crazy.
They're like fire sales in this
like
stuff.
The Microsoft Store. Like I even vowed pretty much to like never get an Xbox One, but like they have made it a lot more appealing now. Obviously, Jim, you know, keep saying this, which I agree with.
The S console is a nice machine.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I think for $250 at the Microsoft Store, you get a $25 Microsoft Store gift card.
Probably gears.
A free game.
At least.
And something else.
At least one game.
At least one game.
You get an extra controller, I think, I've seen.
Oh, bundled. It's the, hold on. I'll pick it up because I think it's the Battlefield 1 bundle. Mm-hmm. So you get that, you get a $25 gift card, and you get another
Microsoft title, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
They were doing Game of Your Choice last time I looked. Not Microsoft title, Game of Your Choice.
Yeah.
So I think it's like you get two free games of like one is Battlefield, one is of your choice, and then a $25 gift card. I've seen three games as an option, I think, coming for Black Friday, if I remember right. So you get, I think it was three. So I don't have to look at it, but we'll have some deals we'll talk about on Tuesday of next week. But yeah, number one selling console. They finally hit their stride with it, knowing what they were marketing it to. Big surprise here. Market to the gamers, you know, not the TV fans.
Oh, TV.
Yeah. It's a big surprise. You cut Kinect, you make a nice, sleeker, smaller, quieter, better system. And, you know, there you go. Their software is so better designed. than Sony. And I'll get into this, my side of the podcast here with the PS Pro. But like any game that you have at home for the Xbox One right now, like let's say you upgraded and got the S, it runs better on the S. Like it does. They run better. They have a higher frame rate. And it does HDR just like the PlayStations do now. And it does all of their backwards compatible library. So not to mention the fact that if you buy the system, you can then also restore your backups from the cloud. So now we're going to get into the Sony system here. I got the PS4 Pro last week, which unfortunately I was away all weekend. I got back at 10:30 last night, so I didn't get back to play much. So I didn't play any games except for like XCOM 2, which really I have no benefit to show you guys. Like, it's not a great looking game. There has been less frame rate slowdowns, which is great. But there shouldn't have been there, in my opinion, in the first place for that game. But but just starting off with the way that they set that system up, it's just clunky. Like their cloud saving system doesn't let you just download your data. You have to reinstall all of your stuff or the associated games. Like I don't even own some of these games anymore, so I can't just download my giant cloud save of 9 gigs. I got to go title to title and download after I've reinstalled the game. Same thing with apps. You can't just download from the cloud. You have to reinstall the app and then download your data. So you can't just do it all right away like I was expecting to do. And I thought that was just very frustrating. Like that's just a very stupid design. But so that's my gripe. System wise, it's huge.
Huge.
It's heavy. I don't mind this. It's smaller than the Xbox One. It is heavier than the Xbox One, but it's huge, and it's
huge.
It's probably It'll just about as noisy as the Xbox One, not the S, the Xbox One. It's probably about as noisy because the PS4 was very loud for me, especially mine.
So when you say noisy, you're saying it's not noisy.
I'm saying it's quieter than the PS4, which is great because that sounds like a jet engine for me. But it's still not, it's probably about the same quietness of an Xbox One, which you guys have heard, right? It gets a little whirly sometimes. So it's not whisper quiet like the S is supposed to be.
The thing that gets really loud for me is the power supply. The Xbox One itself is not loud at all.
You're right. Maybe it's quiet. I don't know. Like I feel like it is noisy. I mean, I can hear it spin up like the fans inside of it. Like when I'm playing a game, like I was just playing, XCOM. XCOM is probably about half the noise level of the other PS4, but that was very loud for me. So I'm going from a system that was very melting. It was melting. So I'm coming from a system that was very loud to begin with. So this is weird that it is quieter, but it's not much quieter, I guess. It's not what I was expecting. I was expecting whisper quiet.
Everybody's quiet. Saying that it's just like hardly audible.
Whisper quiet from a high performance system, man? You're crazy.
I know.
The only reason that the Xbox One S and like the PS3 Slim and Xbox 360 Slim is because they're optimized at that point. Like this is just
it's a revised
power.
Mode. Well, and plus I do like this fact of it. I saw online you can pop the top up and just clean out the fan.
That's cool.
Does not void the warranty to do that.
That's good.
There's no like tag or anything like that says void the warranty. Because for those who are wondering, when you spray compressed air onto a fan, you're supposed to hold it so it doesn't spin on its own because you can break the bearings.
I did not know that. That probably explains what happened to my graphics card.
That is definitely what happened here. You'll overspin them. So they'll break. They're not supposed to spin at a certain speed, you know? So when you blow air into them, they're uncontrolled.
Mm.
There you go.
Bum, bum, bum.
Lessons of the podcast. So the PS4 Pro, very snappy. I have already noticed it with video apps. Not even like games, like I said, but video app switching has been fantastically, like just much better, much faster. Not choppy. It's very quick transitions, so it looks nice. I don't have a 4K TV yet, and I haven't decided if I'm buying one. But so I don't have much to talk about in the Pro yet. But I will definitely talk about it next week. I'm going to dive into it this week. So
is it worth upgrading?
No. If you own a PS4, don't buy one. I bought one because my PS4 melted. That's all. Like if you have to buy another system, like if your system breaks, there's no reason to buy the Slim. That's where they have this marketed at.
That's what I was going to get to. It's like, is it worth upgrading your system to this over the Slim based off of your experience? Because the Slim is just the exact same thing you have now. theoretically, for whoever out there, where this is going to cost you more, but gives you a boost. Like, do you think this boost is going to?
We've talked about this before. Like, $100 over a certain amount of time is like nothing. Mm-hmm. So the boost that everybody's going to get just from the extra gig of RAM for video apps and the smoother running games that get patched. It doesn't automatically do it like the Xbox One, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Sony software is a little, their OS software is a little behind. Yeah. We've always said that.
Well, I mean, Microsoft specializes in, so it's not a surprise.
They built theirs with virtual machines. It was the right idea. Mm-hmm. But I would say that if you're going to go buy a PlayStation 4 and you haven't bought one yet, I would buy this.
Obviously. Now,
spend the extra money.
With what you just said, though, Jim, all right, so like, let's say you're an owner out there of a regular PlayStation 4 right now, and you were interested in getting the PS4 Pro. What would have been your like price through either like trading your old PlayStation 4 in, or, you know, selling it on Craigslist or eBay? Like, how much would you have paid just like, you know, to upgrade? Like, if you could have gotten $200, would you have spent $200 to upgrade? Like,
what do you think? If you can upgrade this and get it for $100 out of pocket, then that's what I would say.
Okay.
If your only system is going to be the PS4, like, you don't own other systems, you're not getting the Switch, you're not getting an Xbox, and you know you're going to be a PS PlayStation gamer here for the next whatever, and you're going to get PSVR, going all in on this, do you still think that it's not worth upgrading?
Not at the moment.
Now, have you tried VR on your...
No, not yet.
So, I mean, I think maybe put a pin on that, because... Only from what I've seen on the internet is that the PSVR experience is enhanced by.
I'm excited to try that out actually. Yeah. So I'll be testing it out, and I might even buy Drive Club for this because I heard it's far better with that. I'll be the guinea pig.
Now, how many times have you said you hated Drive Club?
By Drive Club, I mean I'll probably just trade a game in like Overwatch on the Xbox One, which I'm not playing, and get $42 for it at Best Buy, which I can right now. What? And then
I thought it was 30.
It's ridiculous. It's 35. Don't they have the 50% or they don't?
Not that.
So it's 35. But don't you get extra?
Last time I checked, it was 30.
I went and checked it when I was at GameStop going to trade these in because I was thinking about trading them in towards my PlayStation to get it cheaper.
I'm just saying, like, it was 35. It's a new week.
So it dropped $5 in a day? Shit.
Yeah, probably.
So, operate like that.
Yeah, I know. But so I'll trade it in. I'll get Drive Club from that. It's a $39.99 game. I get 20% off, and I'll get
till the holidays, man.
There's nothing on sale for this.
You don't. But just because it's not on the Black Friday ad doesn't mean it's not going to be on sale another week.
No, I'm not saying I'm going to buy it right away. Anyways, I got enough to try out with what I have. But I think I'll get that anyways at some point.
Okay.
My whole thing for this is, if you own a PlayStation 4 and you love the PlayStation ecosystem and you have a 4K TV with HDR, now we're getting all this stuff because not every 4K TV has HDR. Not every 4K TV can display HDR, even if it says HDR. It's very wild right now out there. Very wild. You have to do a lot of research to find out what you can buy. So if you have all of those factors, you probably this upgrade is nothing for you at $200 or whatever it costs. You probably do it anyways. Do I say you should do it? No. I say you should wait for just a couple months and then do it when you have a bundle with something like this. Get something extra out of it because the immediate upgrade is just – it's not worth it right away. That's all.
Okay. One last question. Because you and me to a lesser extent have been kind of critical of the build quality of the DualShock 4s, how do you feel about the new DualShock? It's worse? Yeah. What?
So I had the white – I bought the white controller that – remember that white one I had? They had little grippies on the bottom.
They're gone? It's not there?
I had to trade it in with the system or I couldn't trade in the system. Mm. So I had that one with the grippies on the bottom and it felt better. Like this feels cheaper.
That was a first party one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Grippies on them? What?
It had little rubber grips at the bottom edges of it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have a white one?
No, I have the PlayStation version, like the anniversary edition.
I bought the whatever one I bought had it. I don't know what it was. It was a white one. It had like a little rubber
bottom.
Probably
the paint job that you got, Tony, didn't allow it or something. I don't know.
So the black one that comes with the system just feels cheap. It feels it doesn't feel the same quality as the white one that I had. That's all.
That's super disappointing, but that's all right. I'm probably not upgrading to a PS4 Pro anytime soon.
However, VR wise, the light having the light on the front of the touchscreen makes you able to find your controller better. With the VR, you can kind of glance down through the thing, and you can see it. Yeah, so.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all for me for this. So, Tony, what have you been up to?
Nothing much. Ended my League of Legends season. Unfortunately, not on a high note. My one friend, Henry, you guys have met through PAX and stuff like that. We're procrastinators, and we wait until the last minute to actually do our rank stuff. He's like, oh, we have until Friday. And, like, on Saturday, he's like, oh, we have until Monday night. Just can, like, oh. It's like, all right, well, we had two nights to play whatever number of games we needed to get our certain rank, which we did not. We just missed it.
Do you get a reward upsetting. Or something? Like, what's the point of getting that rank?
You get a what they call a victorious skin. So, like, every year for that season, you get a champion, if you're going to own this champion, and a special victorious skin, which is, like, a bit unique. Like, it's, like, you know, I guess, like, regalia, kind of, like, you know, just, like, armor that looks, like, really cool. Like, you're part of, like, some, you know, victory thing, obviously, and whatnot. It's hard to explain. Just
the Star Wars parade.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. But thankfully it wasn't really a character I cared about or played. So I was like, I don't really feel like missing out on much. The only thing that does suck is like, you can never get that ever again. Cause like every year it's a new one. So it's kind of like, ah, damn, I hit it the last 2 years in a row. And like this one kind of like combo broke me. So a little bittersweet on that.
It's like the Hearthstone card backs. It's like, well, missed one now.
It's actually something else I was going to mention is like kind of, I have this weird love-hate relationship with Hearthstone where, like, I'll play it for a bit, and then I stop. And I'll play it for a bit, and I'll stop. And then, just because, like, with all the BlizzCon stuff, even though it was kind of disappointing, I was like, you know what?
Check it out.
I'll check it out, see what the new Karazhan stuff is. But I have so much gold right now, and I don't want to waste it on unlocking the stuff, even though technically I get it for free. I'd rather just spend, like, some of my banked-up GameStop credit and just buy it with $20 of earned credit I got, and just save that gold for PAX when the new expansion comes out, which I think, you know, will help me get better cards faster. So see about that. Other than that, still kind of frustrating because like some people on that, like, it's just like, dude, like, you have this mega legendary deck, why are you at this low of a ranking? Because, you know, obviously since I haven't played in a while, I'm like back, you have to start back at the bottom. Although it was kind of funny because initially I had some weird, they introduced some new type of quest where it's like play 50 Murlocs or, you know, and then play like 75 like creatures with charge, you know. I'm like, what the fuck is this dumb shit? So I'm like, okay. So I literally just made a deck, a Warlock deck that was like Murlocs. And I don't even own all the good Murlocs. So I was just like, anything that's Murloc goes in there. And then anything else is like, anything that has charge, this goes in this deck. So I played this in rank, just being like, you know what? Worst case scenario, I can't go any lower than 25 because that's what you start out as. Best case scenario, like I get wins towards that, you know, getting the gold portrait and everything like that. And, you know, I get some wins. I got to like level 21 before I started having difficulty. Like, I was like, you people are losing this piece of shit deck. It doesn't have a single legendary. Oh, I'm sorry. It had Leroy, but that was it. It didn't have anything else. I wasn't playing the high-end, like, good creatures. Like, it was stupid Murlocs and charge creatures. Very little remove. I'm like, you guys really need to reevaluate yourself.
I feel like I couldn't come back to that game. I've missed so much. Like, I just don't think
it's
I can come
hard.
Back to
it. The card, like, trading card games are very hard to get back into if you take a break. Like, I want to get back into it, but same thing. It's, like, it's very intimidating. What's funny is I was at a client. A salesman was asking me. He's like, so theoretically, I have this like theoretical like friend, right? What would it take? What would it take to get the Hearthstone on the computer? I'm like, awesome. Theoretically, it's not happening. And realistically, yeah, no chance in hell, buddy.
Really? What kind of system can't run Hearthstone?
He's wanting to do this at work.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just wanting to know
he's
if it's
like,
possible.
Yeah, he's like, can this happen while I'm... Yeah, no.
But it's so dumb. You could play it on freaking any phone pretty much these days.
Oh, yeah,
you...
absolutely. Nope. This is funny.
Mike, what have you been up to?
Well, I mentioned that I played episode 3 of the Telltale Batman game. Talked about that enough. Other than that, it's just been Overwatch. Got my new season high, and then quickly dropped from it. But I'm still above the platinum threshold now, so I guess I'm okay with that. Yeah, I've just been playing that a bit. I'm curious to see, do we have, we still don't know when any of these new things are coming to the actual consoles.
It's probably going to be when the season's over.
It's probably going to be gonna have a Thanksgiving free break.
You have a free weekend coming up this Saturday, mm-hmm. Sunday.
I thought it was this past weekend.
No, it's this Saturday, weekend. Sunday. Oh. It's going to be free. And they're not going to be included in that. So you know that it's going to come out.
It'll be Thanksgiving weekend.
I think it's going to be the following week. I think that's my
guess. I'm going Thanksgiving.
The week of Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving?
That weekend after. The week after. The Tuesday after. It can't be this week, this Tuesday. It'll be the Tuesday after.
We'll see.
It's Tuesday, right? They patch?
Tuesday they patch. So I'm saying it's the week of Thanksgiving is what I think is going to happen.
Oh.
So you have the free weekend. Everybody has a chance. And then, whoa, Tuesday, you get a new character, new map, new modes. Oh, now I'm going to have to buy this game. I think that makes a lot of sense.
We'll see. We'll see.
Because that's when the season ends.
Anything else, Mike?
That's it.
Corey?
I played a lot of Destiny. Iron Banner is back. It's ending tonight. But played that a bunch. And
Gears with me, which we only play one night. Which we'll play if we're free tomorrow night. I think we should try to play it again.
Yeah, but that should be available. So yeah. I definitely want to get more. Like the Gears is so good. Getting back into that, so good. We talked about that already. So
yeah, it's good.
Gears, Destiny, Overwatch. Yep.
Now, Corey, I thought a couple podcasts ago or whatever you had mentioned you got Dying Light. Have you played it at all or no?
No, not yet. I played the first opening sequence, and that's it. Because I've been playing these shooters. So
yeah, no, I
definitely on my radar. And same thing with
Backlog.
Yeah. What was the other one that I got? It's that action RPG. Not really action RPG. The Original Sin. No.
Divinity.
Original Sin. You got it, right? Yeah. You got it. Yeah.
I couldn't remember, where did the calling go?
I picked up a bunch of games I haven't gotten to play yet. I have the Telltale Batman. And I also have Devil May Cry, of course. It was on sale for $9, so I had to buy it.
Yeah, there's a couple of games. I mean, I'm definitely looking at Rise of the Tomb Raider this Black Friday.
It's not cheap enough. It's not cheap enough. No, it's a good game, but I've already played it, so it's not cheap enough for me. But it's pro enhanced and it's VR. And it makes the most sense for me to buy this thing.
And you get everything. I mean, you get all the DLCs.
Yeah, so I know, but it needs to be. It's only $40. I think it needs to be $30 for me.
It's $30. Oh. I'm pretty sure that it's coming out at $30.
I only saw it for $40. I thought, but. We'll see.
Pretty sure. That's why I was like, I could do 30.
All right. We'll find out. All right. I think that's going to wrap up Gamescast episode 318, listeners. Thank you for viewing and viewers and listeners. Write us for any questions or comments you have. podcast@allyoucangeek.net. Follow us on Twitter, @allyoucangeek. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can comment on YouTube as well and on Facebook. And like us on give us a review on iTunes. That would be awesome. It'd be cool. We'd like to see that. So, tune in next week. Thank you.